This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Interesting that you say that you think it would be even a number that low in that 10 to 15 million dollar range would be too much for him to pass up for next season. I would have thought that it would have to be 15 plus.
Well, I think that they're also being realistic because I think, and this has been kind of the thing that's been complicated sort DeMarcus's time here with the Warriors, where it's been so many overlapping elements, JD, of one step forward, two steps back, and sometimes it's happening at the same time. And you look at, you know, the good. He overcame an injury that's often debilitating to other NBA players. He showed that he, for the most part, was a team guy. He blended his talents with a bunch of other all-stars. But at the same time, there was a lot of awkwardness. He had that other injury with his left quad. There were times that he was not good defensively. He wasn't able to keep up conditioning-wise. So it's almost like he has to go through an entire season of finally being healthy and seeing how well he can kind of build off of that momentum and knock the conditioning off, knock any concern of, hey, is he a fit in today's NBA? I think he's a fit with at least having a little bit of a three-point shot, but defensively, he was really tested on those pick and rolls and closed down the perimeter. So I think there's still some question marks as far as how he would fit with the team. And also, not all these teams have what the Warriors had last year with four All-Stars. Like, there would be more pressure on how DeMarcus would be next season without those reinforcements.
Do you think the Warriors are more appealing to DeMarcus Cousins based on the fact that he could conceivably be the number two option or the number two A option, let's say, along with Draymond Green?
I think so. I think that
makes him more appealing.
Yeah, more appealing, because I think that DeMarcus came in knowing that he was going to have to sacrifice. He accepted the parameters for the most part, but there were a lot of times that he got frustrated, whether it was Steve Kerr being conservative with his minutes and yanking him when he felt he was in a rhythm, and then him not gaining his touches. The good thing about DeMarcus is he would pout and be frustrated, but it never lingered in the locker room. Where it transferred was on the court. So there were a lot of times, JD, where maybe after his first rotation run, where he would get yanked and he would be upset and he might say something to Steve, but the next time he would get on the floor, you would then see this incredible body of work that DeMarcus showed on the court. And I think that he would be more, I think, empowered. But I think that this is the thing that's challenging for the Warriors, is that for better and for worse, his strengths and weaknesses are going to be exposed even more without the kind of talent. But I think because the Warriors are at this point, because they are vulnerable, because they have question marks of whether KD's coming back, when's Klay returning from his injury, that they almost need him. I think that if all things were equal and they didn't have those injuries with Kevin and Klay, I think the Warriors would be putting out the message that, hey, thank you for your service, but we're ready to move in a different direction.
Rich in Fremont is up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on, JD. And mark that funky, cold Medina.
Hey, I'll take that.
That's right. So this is my whole take. My whole take is this, is that, you know, you look at it, really, in my opinion, what the source of the problem is. The source of the problem for them is the coaching staff. And the reason why is because they have not done what they did in 2017, okay? They have not had a developed bench that supports the front four. Or five, if you will. And so because they don't have a developed bench, it makes it difficult because the starting five, they have to be out there on the court more. Hence the idea of these injuries coming up. So my whole take is, if you know that and you're not developing that bench, you're going to continue to have this issue. And then the other thing I wanted to bring out was that I found out the other day, I don't know if this is still sticking, but I found the other day that Willie Cauley-Stein is not happy in Sacramento. And I'm wondering, you guys think that might be something that the Warriors could look at?
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate the call. I wouldn't. One, the Warriors couldn't offer Willie Cauley-Stein any more than the mid-level exception. Two, Willie Cauley-Stein did say through his agent that he doesn't want to play in Sacramento anymore. He wants them to allow him to leave. Three, they tendered him a qualifying offer, so he's a restricted free agent, so they still control that. Four, Willie Cauley-Stein really wants to get paid as much as he possibly can. Five, Willie Cauley-Stein thinks he's a great player. He thinks he's a much better player than he actually is.
So to clarify, are you saying there is a chance the Warriors sign him?
I wouldn't touch Willie Cauley-Stein with a 1,000-foot pole if I'm the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. You outlined it pretty well. I got a hit on this whole coaching staff deserves the blame. The reality is, if you're going to make a criticism of the bench, point the finger more at the front office. I mean, and I have a caveat with that as well, where when you're getting late first round picks and early second round picks, it's really hard to hit on the draft, and it also takes them time. But as far as the coaching staff, yeah, you can make the case, oh, does Steve Kerr play too big of a deep rotation? But I would venture to argue that that helped keep his all-stars as fresh as can be, even when you account for the fact that Kevin and Clay wound up having injuries that blew up in their face at the end. But second, player development is not an issue with the Warriors. They put so much resources into that, where they have a lot of player development coaches. Steve Kerr gives those guys playing time. They have a really good relationship with their G League team. So you can look at guys like Kevon Looney, who was a success story of player development. Alphonso McKinney showing some signs. Yes, there's question marks on Jordan Bell and, hey, why didn't Patrick McCall turn out? But I think the larger point to that is these guys are late first round, early second round picks for a reason. There is an unknown. And secondly, these aren't the guys that Steve Kerr picked. It's the front office. So if you're going to point fingers on why these guys aren't good, it's the guys that decide to give them a chance.
888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95-510 is taking exception to my take on Willie Cauley-Stein. I don't think he's a winning player at all. And I think he's somebody that's looking for a payday. I think he'll go wherever he can get the most money and the most shot attempts. He's a guy that actually could be a nice player if he would stay within the realm of what he, you know, a Clint Capella kind of a guy that can catch lobs, a guy that can finish around the basket, a guy that can defend. But he's far more concerned about his touches and how many points he's going to score than he is about doing the little things that actually would make him a productive player and a winning
team. Yeah, and that sounds like the opposite of what the Warriors are looking for. They're looking for like, guys.
Just keep DeMarcus Cousins if you want a guy that you're going to give a bunch of post touches to.
Yeah, exactly. And the Warriors, with their role players, like they're looking for a bunch of guys that are A, hardworking and grinders, B, that are professional, that will understand the fluid nature of the rotations and that the playing time is unpredictable, because even without Kevin and Clay, there's a lot of minutes to go around with their other star players. And I think the third point that they're looking for is they're looking for guys that fit specific needs. And that right now, when looking at the roster, is they want guys who are shooters, they want guys that are positionless players, and they want gritty defenders. Willie Cauley-Stein doesn't hit those boxes.
And Warriors fans shouldn't be fooled by what they've seen at times from Cauley-Stein against them, because he's also a guy that he'll ramp it up when he's playing against, you know, the four all-star, two-time defending champion Warriors, and then he'll have nothing for you the next night when you're taking on Phoenix.
Yeah. So, you're really good at throwing cold water on things surrounding the Sacramento Kings.
888-957-9570. Warriors this week continues on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Mark Medina, Mark of the Bay Area News Group. Tim Bontemps joining us in about 10 minutes here. Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game, our special free agency edition. And you at 888-957-9570. Special thanks to Mark Spears for joining us as he sneaking in a little vacation day before the start of free agency begins in earnest. Let's start this segment. Well, go ahead, Mark. You look like you had a point.
I was going to say it's well-deserved for Mark Spears. He's always producing NBA stuff, and he's traveling all the time. So you need a little, like, brief recharge to get through the finish run that is free agency.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. I will begin this segment, and then we'll get to D on the phone lines here in just a second, with a tweet from Mark Stein.
Okay.
All indications to date suggest the Warriors will present Kevin Durant with a five-year, $221 million max offer when they get the chance. Can the Clippers, even with two recruiters KD is known to admire, Jerry West and Steve Ballmer, top that after the injury he just suffered? That question.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think the thing that was fascinating when he tore his Achilles is the Warriors and a lot of people around the NBA said that, you know what, this isn't going to affect Kevin's free agency because of how good of a player he is and because it's still in the prime of his career. There's no hesitation that he's still going to get a max deal. So it's almost like a foregone conclusion. Well, of course he's going to get the max. He's Kevin Durant. But I think the thing that Kevin has to sit through is, does that fifth year mean something significant, knowing that by the time that fifth year hits, he's going to be, what, 34, 35? And at that point, that'd presumably be at the tail end of his career. And you never know, like, will he be able to recoup that? You would think, because he's Kevin, he has outside business interests. But this Achilles injury is no joke.
510 on the Chilton Autobody text line taking exception to my comments about Willie Cauley-Stein. He's a young player with plenty of talent, yet you guys assume the Warriors wouldn't consider it, just like JaVale McGee and Nick Young.
It's apples and oranges. Nick Young was signed on a one-year deal at the mid-level exception. JaVale McGee was a training camp invitee. Like, these were kind of low-risk moves financially. We're talking about Willie Cauley-Stein. It's like, hey, he's got to spend to break the bank. And you already outlined they can't afford him anyway, so it's kind of a non-starter.
The Warriors can offer, what, $5.7 million,
yeah,
right? I mean, that's the mid-level exception. That's the most that they could offer Willie Cauley-Stein. Now, look, Willie Cauley-Stein, if he came to the Warriors and wanted to work, it'd be probably the best thing that ever happened to his career. But is he going to do that for $5.7 million? No. And is he going to be the guy that's going to come in and want to work if the Warriors would use him in a way that he's on record saying he doesn't want to be used?
Yeah. Tell us how you really feel, JD.
It's just not a good fit. I did find it interesting that the Kings made the qualifying offer. And like you said earlier, a lot of times that's just a formality. But he's on record saying he doesn't want to be there. They are openly looking for any center they can possibly find to replace him, yet they still make him a restricted free agent. I found it they're hanging on to the control.
There might be some of that, but I think also it's just really to maximize their flexibility. It's almost like they don't have any interest in keeping them either, but if they go through options A through Y and none of them pale out,
and he doesn't get an unreal offer,
right, they at least can have an option Z for them to fall back on.
D is up next here on 95.7 The Game on the phones. Hey, D.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I have two questions for you. Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
My first question is, why did the front office spend so little on the bench in 2019? I believe they could have done better as far as the talent that they actually had on the bench. Like, for instance, guys like Cook and Bell, they were not productive at all, in my opinion. I believe Lee or Derrickson could have done a much better job as far as scoring and also maybe defending. That's the first question. The second question is, although I believe they have tried their best to rectify the problem this year by the players that they've drafted, right? I still believe that they could have done, they can do a lot better by maybe going after a guy like Rudy Gay, Rondo, or Rivers, or someone else to solidify the backcourt, especially to allow Steph Curry to get a little bit of rest. Oh, by the way, can you also talk a little bit about Kai Bowman? Because I've read a lot of good things about that kid, not from the video footages I've seen of him, and that kid is a beast.
Appreciate the call, D. I think the Warriors would love Rudy Gay, Austin Rivers, maybe even to a lesser extent Rajon Rondo, somebody that you could play with Stephen Curry and could also be a traditional backup point guard maybe moving forward, somebody that gets easy shots for other players. I don't think Rondo and Gay in particular are mid-level players at this point. I think both of them would have to take less than that. And Austin Rivers could be in that category as well. It remains to be seen. But kind of grade those three in terms of likelihood in your mind.
Yeah, I think Rondo's off the table because of two things. Rondo's been on record saying that he wants to return to the Lakers, so I think that's going to happen. Rondo's good, and they have a lot of holes to fill, but I don't think that the Warriors are looking at point guard first. They're looking at shooters and wing players. So I think Rudy Gay would be the top guy, but to your point, will he take a pay cut? He was at $10 million last year. That's a steep one, but it's one of those things, like, it's not like he was making 20, so it's completely unrealistic. I could see it happening. Austin Rivers, he said a lot of glowing things about the Warriors. I wouldn't say that the Warriors aren't high on him, but they're not seeing him as the top option.
Yeah, I don't love that fit for the Warriors either.
I think if you're looking at backcourt, it's Derrick Rose and Seth Curry that they're looking at. And part of that's financial too, because they're more likely to be available at the veterans minimum. But I think they also look at those guys as better fits for what the needs are of having some shooters to help with Steph and, you know, obviously offset to some degree Clay being out for at least half of next season.
You think Derrick Rose is legitimately in play?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Is he? You think he is a mid-level player? He was a veteran minimum last year.
Yeah, I think the verdict's out on that, and I think the Warriors are also open on using the mid-level or a veteran's minimum. Their hope is that they can use him on a veteran's minimum, but the market kind of dictates itself there.
What do you know about Kai Bowman?
I don't really know anything about him. Okay. What about you?
Not much. Not much, but there yeah. There has been a flood of tweets and texts and people interested in, you know, who the Warriors add to their summer league roster. Who do the Warriors add to the, you know?
Yeah. I would have some thoughts on the thing he mentioned earlier about why they didn't have a better bench or develop them better, and he was mentioning Marcus Derrickson, Damian Lee should have had more opportunity over Jordan Bell and Quinn Cook. With Derrickson, I don't think he really showed much of anything. Like, they thought he was going to be a good outside shooter and a positional, a versatile defender, and he didn't really show that much, even in the rare playing time he got. So that's like a non-starter. Damian Lee, it's a fair point to make that they could have used his scoring and his wing presence in the playoffs, especially with Durant having the injury he did, and Andre Iguodala, as well as he played, you can't put so much on him. But the reality is the Warriors had to make the tough choice that they need to have some center depth to account for the strong possibility that DeMarcus would be limited, whether it's by injury or just his own role. And that wound up being the case with him getting hurt in game two of the first round against the Clippers. So there's a good reason why, for as much as they had limitations with Andrew Bogut, that they at least had bodies to play at the center spot. Quinn Cook and Jordan Bell, they gave them opportunities. Sometimes they took advantage of them, sometimes they didn't. I really hesitate to blame that on the Warriors. I think at the end of the day, that really falls on those players and how well that they can showcase what they do and hide their deficiencies.
888-957-9570. Tim Bontemps of ESPN is going to join us coming up momentarily. Kai Bowman, undrafted out of Boston College, and the Warriors, I don't think this is official, but they signed him to a one-year non-guaranteed
contract.
Yeah,
I think it's part of like it might be a two-way deal.
Okay, because he didn't want a two-way deal, so, you know, I guess that's why teams didn't draft him. He was supposed to be a draft pick, I guess, and then he didn't want to do a two-way deal, so I'm not sure. That's not official yet.
No, but from my understanding, all these moves here, it's all about, hey, you're on our summer league team, and if things go well, we'll invite you for training camp.
Right.
So nothing. There's no like
no guarantee attached to it.
Right.
At all. It just right. He just didn't. I think the player wanted to bet on trying to make a team that way, as opposed to agreeing to some kind of a two-way contract.
Without a doubt.
All right, Tim Bontemps, we have him ready to roll. Tim Bontemps of ESPN joining us here on 95.7 The Game. It's John Dickinson, Mark Medina on this Saturday. Tim, how are you doing, buddy? Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, guys. How are you?
Where do you think Kawhi Leonard's at right now? Not physically, but in terms of, you know, how he's trying to decide where he's going to wind up, and has your opinion changed on it, let's say, from when we talked about it a week ago?
I mean, I think it's been kind of the same situation the whole time. You know, my hunch from the beginning has been this has been a race between the Raptors and Clippers, and then, you know, maybe a team like the Knicks gets involved. But, you know, I still think it's probably going to be the Raptors or Clippers. And my guess is that whenever this does come to a head, whether it's in, you know, a 24 hours from now, or in a few days or a week, I think that'll end up being one of those two teams will be where he winds up next season.
Tim, Mark Medina here. How are you?
I'm good, Medina. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on as always. Tim, I mean, we've been asking the question all year about Kevin Durant. But what I was fascinated from your opinion is what's your hunch with that? And when you look at the whole season of the uncertainty and the speculation, like, to what extent have you seen your own view on where he ends up evolved and what factors played into that?
You're talking about with KD?
Yeah.
I mean, I think at this point we're in the same situation that we've been in for the past week, right? Where, you know, in these days leading up to this free agency, with so many teams in the mix, and so much cap space out there on the market. I just think it's a very unusual free agency, because not only have these guys all won and have the ability to go in whatever direction they want because they have won in the past, there's also just several teams that have the ability to sign them or sign them in multiple pairings. So it's not like it's a binary choice. There are four or five teams that could go after them. And that number of permutations and possibilities out there is going to leave everybody kind of guessing as to what happens until it actually does.
How much do you think the idea of Durant pairing with Kawhi Leonard, Leonard pairing with Kevin Durant, how much of that do you think is real, and how much do you think of that matters, let's say, to either player? Obviously, they'd have to wait a year, even if they both sign in the same place, to actually have it come to fruition. But do you think that's something that's appealing to each player?
Well, I think, look, it's clear they've talked, right? And I think it's something that's on the table. But again, like, it's just hard to know. All these questions that we have, like, where are these guys going to go? Are they going to team up? Why would they want to team up? Until we hear from them, it's kind of hard to know exactly what the calculus is, right? Like, at this time 3 years ago, it's not like a lot of people were expecting the Warriors to get Durant. People thought it was possible, but, you know, most people kind of assumed he was going to go back to the Thunder. And then over those 4 or 5 days, a ton of things came out. The Clippers at one point were seen as the team, and then the Celtics, and then it ends up, you know, maybe he goes back to the Thunder, and then he goes to the Warriors, right? So I think we're kind of a similar situation here. I could see why it would appeal to those guys to play together. But I also could see why it would appeal to Kawhi to go back to the Raptors, or why it would appeal to KD to go to the Knicks, or for both of them to go play for the Knicks, right? Like, you can justify every one of these situations. So it's really just going to make for a wild few days until they decide what they're going to do, because I think they're really going to dictate what happens with a lot of these teams.
Hey, Tim, you had obviously a really good window into the Celtics and Kyrie Irving and his leadership or lack thereof. And given the fact that there has been such a suspicion that his partnership with Kevin Durant might become a thing in their future, how would you see that tandem work, and how Kyrie's leadership approach might change or stay the same if they wind up teaming up together?
He and KD?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just hard to know. I would think it would be different than it was in Boston, because with KD on the team, I would think that Kyrie would defer to him. right, in a way that he didn't have to with anybody in Boston. So I think that would be different. If it ends up being Kyrie by himself in Brooklyn, it will be fascinating to see if it's the same thing as before or if it's something different. And then I think we'll find out if it was a Boston situation or if it was a Kyrie situation as to why things went so sideways here this year. To be kind of the same situation, right? Go to another team with a bunch of young players where you're the best player and try to, you know, make that your team and lead it forward. So, but I do think him and Kevin will be different because I think if Kyrie started to alienate people, I think Kevin has enough stature and a good enough friendship with him that you can tell him to knock it off, and that would be a lot different.
Tim Bontemps of ESPN joining us here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson, Mark Medina, Warriors This Week, our free agency special for 95.7 The Game. Al Horford is an intriguing player to me because I think he could help just about any team that he goes to. Clearly, he believes that he's going to get paid a max offer or very close to a max offer, if not a max offer. Where do you see Al Horford winding up now that it seems like there's been four, five, six different teams linked to him, you know, depending on various reports?
That's the one question that a lot of people have been asking me over the past week, really ever since his option situation. You know, he opted out and then it was thought he was going to be back in Boston. All of a sudden he wasn't. You know, I've had my eye on the Pelicans the whole time. You know, they have Drew Holiday who shares an agent with him there. You know, David Griffin has been said to be looking for shooting all over the place to surround Zion Williamson, right? And even if Al isn't on the same timeline, obviously, as guys like Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Zion, there are not many guys who are better professionals in the whole league than Drew Holiday and Al Horford. And if you're trying to set a culture there and have things, you know, be in a much different place than they were before, it's hard to do much worse than signing a true pro like Al to go with Drew is to kind of show those young guys, here's how you prepare every day, here's how you get ready to play. And Al's still really good. I mean, the end of that contract probably doesn't look great, I think it's safe to say, but if they want to be good in the short term, which is obviously always an issue in New Orleans where nobody goes to the games, and they want to try to have some, you know, some real veteran leadership around Zion and those young guys, I think Al makes a lot of sense for them.
And, well, that's the second part of it for me is just how do you see him aging as a player that would play, let's say he'd play his 33, 34, 35, 36 year under this contract?
I mean, look, it's probably not going to end well, right? But, again, like, if you're in New Orleans, I can see why they would do it, right? Because, again, you're trying to convince Drew Holiday that he should stick around and that he doesn't want to be out of there. And it does seem like they do want to be competitive. I mean, again, I think we do have to factor in that this is a market where people have not gone to the games, right? And I think there is some, I don't know that to be sure, but I do think there is some interest on their part in having good players around Zion early and having a chance to be competitive sooner than people might think, right? And, I mean, look, you roll out there, Drew Holiday, Zion Williamson, and Al Horford, that could very easily be a playoff team in the West next year.
Hey, Tim, I got to defend you. I guess last week, you know, Matt was trying to suggest to you about Steph and Draymond should be having load management and the Warriors should tank. So I'm with you on the points you made there. But given the possible worst-case scenario, if Kevin's gone, Klay Thompson is out for a significant chunk of time, knowing the salary right. cap limitations that they'll have in free agency with the mid-level exception and veterans minimum deals, what do you think is the kind of the realistic goals on how they will handle next season?
I mean, look, to go not to completely rehash it, but I got where Matt was coming from in terms of, you know, maybe the Warriors should look beyond that. I just don't think, you know, to your point, the players are going to be interested in that, especially when Draymond can qualify for the Supermax and Steph is going to want to prove people that these guys aren't done yet, right? They're a proud team. However, look, I mean, I think if I'm Golden State and I look at where the league is right now, unless Kawhi goes to the Lakers and they have LeBron, Kawhi, and AD, I look at the league and I say everything is wide open, right? And let's say Klay Thompson can come back by March, right? Let's say that happens. All right, then, you know, if they can get into the playoffs, basically with any seed, they're going to feel like they can win any series, right, against any of these teams. So I think that the goal should be, from their standpoint, to try to make this year's team as good as possible. I would pay Kevon Looney and get him back. Maybe they could flip Sean Livingston. You know, I know people have, you know, discussed the possibility of trying to get a guy like Jay Crowder. I got Kevin Pelton at our place, you know, threw that out as a potential, you know, as a fake trade. We had to do this fake trade exercise the other day. I think that one makes sense. You know, you have Andre Iguodala back. You bring back Quinn Cook. You know, you use that mid-level to try to add another wing player that can help you. There's a ton of bigs out there. Maybe you can grab a veteran's minimum big. You know, there was talk last year about Robin Lopez. Maybe you get Robin Lopez for the minimum if the market just isn't there for him, right? Just as throwing out a name. That's not reporting, to be clear.
Right.
You know, but I think if you're the Warriors, you just try to get as many players as you can to fill out this roster and give yourself a shot to, if you can get Clay back, assuming Kevin's out the door, you know, to have a chance to make a run in the playoffs next year. Because, again, I think I feel pretty confident that if we go and ask Steph or Draymond or Clay or Andre Iguodala or Steve Kerr, if they can get in the playoffs with the 8th seed and they basically have the team that played from whenever Kevin got hurt until game 5 of the NBA Finals, plus another wing player, right? And obviously subtracting Cousins in that situation. I think that's a team that they'll feel like can beat any of these teams in the West. Again, short of Kawhi going to the Lakers and just building, you know, a complete super team there.
Tim, how realistic is Jimmy Butler winding up a Houston Rocket?
I mean, I don't think it's very realistic. I think it's possible, right? Like, there's talk that D'Angelo Russell is going to meet with the Wolves. Is that possible? Yes. Is it realistic? I mean, probably not, for the same reason, right? There's just a lot of things that have to happen in order to make it work, right? Then again, you could have said a couple of years ago that it wasn't realistic for Kevin Durant to end up a Warrior, right? Because they had to move on from two or three guys, and Harrison Barnes was leaving. Like, so I wouldn't bet on it happening, but I also wouldn't rule it out, I guess, just because it does seem like the Rockets are hell-bent on trying to make it happen. And if Jimmy does decide to leave, that would be an awfully appealing situation. But my guess is he doesn't end up there. I think if Philly does offer him the 5-year max, which there is, you know, there's been at least some talk they will, it's hard for me to see him leaving. And I think even if he doesn't get it there and he ends up leaving, I just think there's too many other options that have max cap space that don't have to make the series of moves the Rockets would in order to get it done.
Tim, great stuff as always, my man. We'll talk to you again here soon.
Sounds good, guys. Enjoy free agency. I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Sounds
Tim Bontemps.
Keep killing it, Tim.
ESPN. Great stuff as always. And some breaking news here. Multiple reports, including Shams Charania, Nikola Mirotic going to Barcelona. EuroLeague Barcelona.
Why?
That's a great question, because he was probably going to get 10 to 12 million a year, I would have thought, in free agency for multiple years.
Well, I know that there's times where overseas is considered the better play financially, but Mirotic is an established player.
Yeah, like, wasn't playing at the end of the Bucks series, but he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a useful player.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to know what's the reasoning behind that.
In an era now where, I mean, you covet players like him.
Right.
Basically, the quintessential stretch four, not a great defender, but the quintessential stretch four can knock down the three ball.
Right, and fundamentally sound. I don't get that. I mean, I want to read more into this, but definitely surprising.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors this week. We roll on here from San Francisco with John Dickinson and Mark Medina on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Mark Medina with you here for another hour, 888-957-9570. Actually, an hour and 12 minutes here at Warriors This Week until 1 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. Phone calls coming up in just a second, and Tim Roy at 12:30. But I got to give you a hard time here, Medina.
I'm really sorry. I messed up. Give it to me.
The text line comes in 510, and they're coming in hot. Jesus, guys. Matt never said the Warriors should tank. And in fairness to our guy Steinmetz, who regularly hosts this show with me here, and you can hear him 10 to 2 here on 95.7 The Game as well, he was more examining what next year will look like with no Klay Thompson, no Kevin Durant, due to injury, even if they both resign, and it sounds like Klay Thompson's going to resign tomorrow at 3:01, what it would look like, how the Warriors would manage it in terms of rest nights and things of that nature.
Right.
And could that lead them down the road to, boy, this isn't really working out, this isn't a playoff team, at what point, or does there become a point where you pull the plug?
Right. You know what? I'm sorry to Matt. I'm sorry for the general public for misspeaking.
Mark, you owe him a, you owe Matt Steinmetz an apology.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. I didn't mean to misspeak because I always enjoy talking basketball and when you guys are hosts or any other show. But the thing that I did agree with Tim on was the whole idea of they have to worry about load management with Steph and Draymond, because that sounds like what the Raptors did with Kawhi Leonard, which was a completely different scenario where Kawhi's coming off this major injury. There's questions about his health. Make no mistake, Steve Kerr is not going to handle Steph Curry and Draymond Green by playing them 40-plus minutes a night, but they're not going to just sit them for the sake of sitting them. They're not quite at the point in their career where it's Andre Iguodala and Shaw Livingston where they would build in rest days on back-to-backs or anything like that. But as what the Warriors have always handled with their all-stars, they will take their time with major injuries. And I think that there is an interesting point. If things start going south at one point, do they pull the plug? But I think Tim hit it on well in his last segment with us that they rightfully are in with the thought process, assuming that Klay is back, which he will be, and they make some decent additions with free agency, that they have the makings of being a playoff team. And then once they do that, all bets are off. Unless one of those guys have a catastrophic injury, which is unforeseen, they're entering the mindset that it's about continuing the sustainable run, almost like how the San Antonio Spurs would do, where, hey, maybe after a championship season or a failed playoff year, they're not going to just punt. They're going to continue that continuity and still have a chance to make the playoffs.
From the 925, can the Warriors get Seth Curry? Mark, that's somebody you mentioned that you think the Warriors would have interest in and maybe be a fit.
He's realistic. He's a veteran's minimum. If they need to recruit him, they can just call Steph and say, hey, get your brother on the phone and tell him to wear a Warriors uniform. And I think, practically speaking, it's not even just nostalgia or, you know, the brothers being able to play together. Seth Curry fits a specific need. They need shooting. They have Steph Curry, but Klay Thompson's going to be out for at least half the season. Kevin might be gone. And they don't really have a consistent shooter, so they need all the help they can get in that department.
Is there anybody living better today than Kawhi Leonard? Kawhi Leonard, his 28th birthday is today, June 29th. His 28th birthday, he's an NBA champion for the second time, two-time Finals MVP, ready to get maxed out from somebody, entirely up to him in the next day or week or however long he needs to take to make the decision, and he's healthy again. So, I mean, Kawhi's living right now. I mean, and because of Durant's injury and the way the finals played out, he is the most coveted free agent.
Yeah, and it's like, does he want to win the hearts and minds of a huge media market in LA or New York, or the hearts and minds of an entire country in Canada? He already has them because they won a championship. And they're almost giving them, you know, free bills for everything. But it really comes down to Kawhi, and does he feel like he needs to be close to home in L.A., or does he need to tap into another market? I mean, the one thing I would stress about L.A. is two things. His hometown is in L.A. It's Riverside, which is not close to L.A., really. Sure. It's like 2 hours away. But then the third thing, or the second thing,
it'd be like saying your hometown's Sacramento.
Yeah.
But you're going to play in San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit different. Number two, as much as he might be having conversations with Kevin and would he want to play with the Lakers, I'm curious how that fit would be. Like, does he care about the pecking order? I mean, clearly he was the number one guy with the Raptors, and they have a lot of good winning depth around him. But here, with the Lakers, it's a little bit of a gray area because LeBron James, no doubt, is the leader on that team. But to what degree does he kind of pass the baton because of where he's at in his career with his injuries, the fact that he's older, to Anthony Davis, to Kawhi Leonard? Does it split equally? Is there a pecking order between AD and Kawhi? That's kind of an interesting thing to sift through.
T-Bone in Lafayette. T-Bone is next here on the phones as we get back to calls on 95.7 The Game. Hey, T-Bone.
Hey, guys. How you doing? First-time caller. Great points by Mr. Medina. I really agree also with the analogy of using the San Antonio Spurs as a model of staying relevant for the Dubs next year. Quick quip, I'm wondering if Mirotić is on his way to Spain because he heard he's going to have to play with Bobby Portis again next year. probably not. But another point you made, Mr. Medina, and I agree with, I think Seth Curry would be a great fit. However, I want you guys to share with me any information or any knowledge on why you think they gave Quinn Cook a qualifying offer. Because for me personally, I really love Quinn Cook. I love him as a person. I think his handshakes are some of the best in the NBA. I know the story with him losing his dad and everything. It's a very good story. However, what he showed me towards the end of the year, especially in the playoffs, was not quite what I think the Warriors could use, especially in the absence of Klay. And I know someone like a Jamal Crawford might be a little more expensive than a veteran minimum, but do you, as if you could play Bob Myers right now, do you give Quinn Cook that qualifying offer?
Thanks, T-Bone. We appreciate the call. I wouldn't want Jamal Crawford at all at this point. I think it's just, you know, at this point, not enough defense there. He could still score a little bit, but I think it's hard to play Jamal Crawford regularly. You can disagree with me if you want on that one, Mark. For Quinn Cook, it's really a matter of just why not, right?
Yeah.
Like, why not? And you can explain that process maybe for people that are just joining us, why you tender a guy a qualifying offer and make him a restricted free agent, even a lower-level player like Quinn Cook.
Yeah, and the reason why the Warriors made the qualifying offer to Quinn Cook, or really any other guys, it makes them a restricted free agent. The difference between restricted free agency and unrestricted free agency is this. If you're a restricted free agent and you get an offer sheet from any other team, the Warriors in this case would have 3 days to match that offer, and then they are required to re-sign with that team. So it gives the Warriors more flexibility. And I think to your point about the concerns with Quinn in general of why would the Warriors want him, look, they're not considering him a priority. They have the same question marks that you raised with him, and that explains why when free agency opens up, they're going to look elsewhere. They're going to see what's available with other better backcourt alternatives. But the Warriors are also mindful that of two things. One, they have limited purchasing power, so what they want and what they get might not be the same thing. And number two, for all the flaws that Quinn Cook has on defense and just his consistency, the Warriors still value his playmaking and the fact that he's such a professional on the bench that, A, his work ethic will help reduce to some degree some of the weaknesses he has, and two, his professionalism helps set the tone with the Warriors bench in general, where all these guys are going to have fluid roles, their playing time is going to come in droves, and if they have a guy who's not a pain to work with and who sets the right tone with the work habits, that has a trickle-down effect with everyone else.
Another one from the reading between the tea leaves department, and this is multiple texts have come in just in the last 2 minutes since we've been talking about Quinn Cook. 510, Cook is so KD may re-sign. Do you think if the Dubs were on the fence about Cook, they may have offered him a contract to entice KD to stay since they are besties? They signed Cook to have a chance at signing KD. Those three texts all came in less than 2 minutes.
Look,
us discussing Quinn Cook.
It's a cherry on the sundae. It's a nice topping. They're definitely close friends. That relationship is real. But this is no disrespect to Quinn Cook because, again, they are very close and they do like Quinn for some of the other things. But I don't think Kevin Durant is making his decision on the condition that the Warriors have Quinn Cook on the team. I think that he's looking at all the different variables that we've spent a lot of time on this show of, does he want another challenge of winning a title elsewhere? Does he feel like he's done all he can do that leaves him fulfilled with the Warriors? And some of the other things as far as the narrative. I mean, again, the partnership's real, the friendship's real, but I don't think that's going to be the ultimate factor that influences Kevin's decision.
And on the Chilton Autobody text line, we should let everybody know that the 707, 510, and 415 were all in lockstep. Three different area codes here in the Bay, all in lockstep on. Did the Warriors offer Quinn Cook a qualifying offer to help their chances with Durant? So, the Bay Area just on the same page, at least in wondering what's going on. Everybody wants to read between the tea leaves, Mark. That's Durant selling his house. What does this mean? What does that mean? Selling his house in L.A., I should point out.
I'm ready to do that deep dive on the impact Quinn Cook made on KD's future.
Boy, we got a lot to chew on here as you listen to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. I love the jot down notes, like actually jot down notes during the show, like on paper, on a legal pad. And I got all the screens going and everything. And as the show goes on, I make notes of like, oh, I want to get to this before the end of the show. And I just within the last 20 minutes, I'm flooded with just, you know, things that I want to hit you with. We're going to get to phone calls. The text line is blowing up as well, and Tim Roy is going to join us at 12:30 as we continue to break down everything Warriors and NBA free agency, our free agency special. Mark Medina, the Bay Area News Group, joining me here as we are with you until 1 o'clock. And, TikTok, 26 hours, actually 27 hours to go as I quickly adjust my math there. 27 hours to go until free agency. We should let everybody know if you're just joining us. Klay Thompson's going to re-sign. Now, according to multiple reports, full max on the table, not official till it's official, but the two sides merging toward 3 o'clock tomorrow and an agreement in place.
Right, and it seemed like that's what was going to be. A lot of people on the Warriors privately have been laughing about any notion of some of the commentary of, hey, doesn't Klay Thompson want to play in L.A. because he grew up there in Orange County, or doesn't he want to have his own team so he doesn't have to play as a third option behind Steph and KD? Has he ever been unhappy? And the Warriors are more amused by it by anything, but it's like, guys, have you been paying attention to Klay Thompson his entire career? He doesn't care about any of that stuff. All he cares about is winning at a high volume. He loves the Bay Area. He doesn't want the attention, care about the attention. So this is what's going to happen. It's what we expected all along. And I think for the Warriors' case, it's really nice. They can address that immediately at 3:01 p.m. Sunday when it begins, and then shift all their focus into hoping that they can do everything they can to convince Kevin Durant to come back.
Couple of quick nuggets here. Nene declining his $3.8 million option with the Rockets, so he will become a free agent, and that's somebody that, you know, a big man off the bench that could potentially help different teams. And Mark Stein reporting the strange news that was reported multiple areas within the last hour about Nikola Mirotic, who is going to Barcelona and signing overseas. Mark Stein reporting that Utah, the Jazz, had major interest in signing Mirotic to a 3-year deal in the $45 million range. He would have been a hell of an addition for the Jazz, who do need shooting and just added Mike Conley, and I think have vaulted themselves probably into the top half of the Western Conference playoff picture just with a healthy Conley. Mirotic really would have helped them, and they obviously are a team that needs more shooting.
Yeah. What am I missing here, JD? I mean, I don't profess to know Mirotic. I never covered him. I don't know what the variables are in play, but why would he go overseas when he's an established NBA player? He's primed to make really good money. I mean, the overseas money can be real, but a lot of times that case applies to guys who are just tired of playing in the G League, D League, in hopes of gaining an NBA call-up because this is more security. What am I missing here?
I'm baffled by this one. I'm other than he's just more comfortable playing overseas.
I mean, playing the NBA,
and
right?
Everybody has, you know, has made millions, right? So he's made. You know, everybody has a different value on money. You know, if you've made millions, how many more millions do you need to make? That's that answer to that question is different for everybody. Maybe he sees himself as, I've made millions, I'll go make millions overseas, maybe not as many millions, but still millions, and I'm more comfortable playing overseas and living overseas.
Yeah, and I mean, he knows that area well, right? I mean, maybe that goes into play, but I don't get it. But you know what? Like, guys have the right to do what they feel is best for their future. So that at the end of the day, that's really all that matters.
More phone calls straight ahead. The other surprising news, and we didn't quite get to this when we had Mark Spears, but it was something he reported last night, Darren Collison.
Yeah.
Retiring. And that's another player that, you know, 31 years old, he was going to get double digits in terms of an average annual value of his contract in all likelihood.
Yeah, and I mean, look, he's not a franchise-changing guy, but he's one of those guys that you like to have on your team as a very good role player, and he kind of fits that gray area where you don't want to just assume he'll get a veteran's minimum deal. You have to spend to get a quality role player like that, and usually for role players, they don't dictate when their NBA career is over. It's usually the marketplace. There's never a farewell tour. There's never an announcement that this is the final year. It's usually the NBA career is done as soon as the offers stop coming in. But you know what? He made a personal choice.
Steven in San Rafael is up here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Steven, how are you?
Good. How's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.